Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is back.
Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. You have tuned in to a week worth of information in just one setting. So on this program, or welcome to the show. And on this program, we have, you know, the UN voted 128-9 to declare America's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital null and void. And also, Cuban President Raul Castro will be stepping down in April of 2018 and not February. We have more on that. And Sweden has a proposal that their proposed rape law requires both parties to get explicit consent before sex. Yes, that's in Sweden, not in the U.S., in Sweden. And former President Obama appeared to compare the new guy to Hitler last week. I didn't do that story, so we may talk about that a little bit more. But and Jada Pinkett went out on a limb for Tiffany Haddish about their snubbing Tiffany's performance in Girls Trip at the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So we have that this week in court and much more. So I want to welcome you again onto the show. You know, our dialing number, if you're listening live, is 909-265-9189. Hit 1 on your line. I want to say hey to everyone that's out there. And if you are checking us out in the archives, we are live on Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you want to check us out. Now, our first story, consumer prices rose 0.4% in November. That's largely pushed by the jump in gasoline prices. That's according to the Labor Department. And one in five U.S. patients report feeling discriminated against by doctors for being overweight, poor, old, or black. Now, the quality health care for older patients is crucial to the U.S. as the U.S. population ages, but widespread discrimination found by a set of California universities could discourage people in need from seeking care. So there's a story out there. It's already proven. Watch your doctors. Islamic leaders declare Trump's Jerusalem decision null and void and called for the city to be recognized as Palestine's capital. So leaders from 57 Islamic nations have announced that they have officially recognized occupied East Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine in response to Trump's move to declare Israel its capital. Now, also, what happened this week is that in an emergency session, the United Nations has voted overwhelmingly to condemn the U.S. for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and pledged to the U.S. pledged to relocate their embassy there. Now, the vote was 128-9 with five that abstentions and 21 no-shows. So only Guatemala, Honduras, Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Nauru, Palau, and Togo joined the U.S. and Israel in opposing the measure. Now, American Ambassador Nikki Haley blasted anti-Israel member nations during a pre-vote debate, warning that there would be a price to pay in standing in President Donald Trump's way, is what she said. The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it, and we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations, is what she said. Now, get this. She's saying, since we pay a lot of money, you should vote with us. That sounds like Trump, and it sounds stupid. But since I'm reading news, that's what she said, not what I'm saying. Now, key U.S. allies, Britain, France, Italy, Japan, Ukraine, were amongst the 14 countries in the 15-member Security Council that voted in favor of the measure as well. So after that vote, Haley described the 14-1 vote an insult and warned it would not be forgotten. So not only did they threaten allies, they threatened everybody in the UN that we should side with them, not on principle because, you know, it's right, because they were going to cut funding to the UN. That is the Trump administration at their finest. Now, on that note, you know, there was just last week, 32% of people say that they approve of the job that Trump is doing as president, with 56% saying they disapprove. That's according to a new Monmouth University poll that was taken between Sunday and Tuesday. So if they take another one, I think they're going to probably be shocked that it's going to be a lot worse. Run out there and take one. Disney buys a large chunk of Fox in a $52.4 billion deal that does not include Fox News. And Disney's longtime CEO, Bob Iger, said also in the same press release that he's going to stay till 2021 in his current position, marking the third time that he has extended his contract. So Disney now has not only a big movie catalog, they have all of Fox's as well. So we're going to see how this goes. If regulators let it through, which they probably will, it is Fox. So, you know, they're probably just going to let it go. Now, the world's first 200-mile-per-hour two-seater flying car will hit the skies next year, and it could be yours for $110,000. It's called the Switchblade, and it has been designed by an Oregon-based Samson Motors and can cruise at an altitude of 30,000 feet and a speed of 200 miles per hour. Now, again, $110,000. I don't know what kind of regulations we need to have for drunk driving and all of that other stuff with somebody flying, but that's a whole another story. We'll have to talk about that later. On that note, let's bring in the commish. Kathleen, how are you doing? I just had to throw the fine car story in before I got to you. Uh-oh. Must be on mute, Kathleen. I can't hear you.
Yes, thank you. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. All right. I don't know if you came in on the whole UN story. I did three stories. One was the Security Council voted against the U.S. in an unbinding, like, sanction against the U.S. for their Israel decision. And then the bigger body, the General Assembly of the UN, voted against the U.S. And the Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador, threatens everybody by saying, we're going to remember this. It sounds like the movie Friday with Felicia when he wouldn't give her the VCR. I'm going to remember that. But that's how she sounded to me, like a crackhead. I'm just going to put that out there.
And I guess what we'll say to her is, bye, Felicia.
Exactly. Since they want to play the movie Friday, they might as well just go all out.
Let's go all out. you know, I don't know that that was when I hit one or not, because I was listening to the other things, but yeah, the blackmail and the threat are, I don't know. It's just such an odd experience for me to watch this, and I don't know, because I'm trying to say, am I supposed to think that nothing can be done about this? I know you'll go into the tax bill later on, but it just seems like man should be able to be stopped. How far into illegal does he have to go before it's time, you know, before they take seriously the fact that this man has got to be stopped? I don't understand it. I really don't. The corruption, the blackmail, the threatening, the bullying, it's just ridiculous that they let it go on.
Yes. All of that. You know, and I guess I don't even know how to start this. But my observation of the whole administration is that they're complicit in this. So I won't let Wednesday Adams, Huckabee Sanders lady, I won't let her off the hook. Don't let Jeff Sessions, but he's proud to be racist as far as I can see. So I can't let him off the hook. Nikki Haley, there's no way to let her off the hook. So when people say things like, oh, there are some responsible people around him, they're obviously not watching the same movie, because all of those guys, whether it was Sean Spicer, and you know, you brought the tax bill. I was going to actually – I didn't have that up to talk about, but we can talk about this now, because even the praise that they gave him, Orrin Hatch, Mitch McConnell, like people who he's talked about, their wives and their family, if you – He's the bully of all of those nuts, so I can't forgive them either. So even if you take him down, don't come back to the general public acting like the Wicked Witch is dead and now I'm good people. I say that they're all not good people, because just like the people who were complicit in the Holocaust, when the regime went down and they went back to their own job, say, hey, I was only doing what I was told to do. They are held responsible for their own actions. And these guys are elected officials by their constituents, not by him. And they would not stand up on their own. So I think they need to be punished for the next election cycle. When they really go up for re-election, I hope their constituents hold their feet to the fire, because corruption is all the way around when you're complicit in the act. And you know how this goes. Like, people get arrested all the time for just hanging out with somebody who breaks the law. They are helping him break the law. You can't say somebody broke into that building and I held the ladder, but I'm not responsible. I didn't go in with them. You held the ladder. So in this case, they held the ladder and broke
yes,
the window.
They did. Yes,
so yeah,
they did.
I had some conversations the earlier today about the tax. The tax plan, and again, I didn't write it down because it's so convoluted that they slipped so much stuff in without any hearings that there was not a lot of reporting on it, because people didn't know. So they didn't know before they voted on it, and then they vote on it and then say, oh, well, we're going to have to make a lot of fixes to it anyway. So, but what they just did was highway robbery, and I'm hopeful that the next election cycle, this will only be 1 year worth of taxes that everybody's going to have to take, because next year they should immediately, the new Congress and Senate, immediately work on overriding any kind of presidential veto when they change the tax system back, because they're going to have to do it.
Yeah,
and,
you know, which was also confusing, because every report that I watched said that what they've done to the tax bill it's the most sweeping tax cut in I don't know how many years. You know, they've always gone back to the number of years, but in a whole lot of years, like, you know.
Probably since Reagan, about 25 maybe. Yeah. So
yeah.
Remember what Reagan did. He cut taxes, And then he had to raise taxes because when he cut it, again, most people don't remember Reagan, but I do. So Reagan was between 80 and 88. So although we as children not really paying attention to the world as stringent as we are now, as when black folks specifically talk about the 80s, you know, we have a bunch of jokes about government cheese and this and that, and it's just kind of how we remember our own community and our own interaction. But the truth is, government cheese wasn't given out because the government had a lot of extra cheese. Like, it wasn't that we had surplus.
Right.
What it was unemployment was almost 11%. It was 10.5 or something. It was almost 11%. So many people were out of work and wasn't hiring that we had a crisis. And so instead of having large food lines, they would give milk and cheese, powdered milk at that, and powdered eggs and canned meat. I don't know why I don't like to say Spam, but it was canned meat and flour.
Uh-huh.
And they would give them out at community centers all across the country. So that's where the joke with the free government cheese comes from for your millennial kids who may not know. But it was because Reagan jacked us up so bad when he did the tax breaks, just like this guy just did. So next year, you're going to see some repercussions from that. So we won't sound like, oh, that's when y'all was little, something happened. You're about to see that. So we're about to watch the youngsters actually learn their own philanthropy, because they're going to have to start doing the same things that we did. We don't trust government for a reason, for any of us who've seen Reagan and the Contra hearings and, you know, all this other stuff, you know, with Oliver North and them selling arms to a country that the Congress forbade them from doing, and guns and arms and drugs and all that stuff that Reagan did. This guy is doing twice as much. He's already under investigation. He got in office, he was under investigation. And Reagan wasn't under investigation until after he started, you know, moving agendas in South America and all this other stuff. This guy is under investigation now in collusion with the Russians. And so we're going to watch something totally different, and it's going to be off the rails. So I'm hoping that my people – generally, sit back and watch this like a movie, because this is not your fight. There's nothing we can do about it, but at the same time, it, my friend, is going to be a little crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it
was there. Yeah. The other thing I thought was very interesting was the all of the news programs that I watched. Out of all of them, if one had reports of what was going on behind the scenes in front of Roy Moore's office headquarters, as well, or wherever he, you know, wherever he held maybe his campaign office, as well as all the other senators and Congress people who had folks marching, doing die-ins and everything else to protest this tax bill. And every time I saw a different crowd from New York all the way across the country, whenever I saw a different crowd, they did not run a clip that I could see of one black person in any of the groups.
Yes. And not saying that that's done strategically, but I am saying that this is so egregious across the board. I'm tired of people using black folks as sacrificial lambs when it comes to protesting. They want us to get out, jump in front of everything, but this is going to hurt them too. So they need to actually use their voice and check their own people, because technically we don't mean anything to the Trump folks. Racist people don't give a rat's on how they hurt us. So when they want to kill something, they put a black person face in front of it anyway. That's why when there's a conversation about any kind of entitlement, they show black people because they want to show white folks that they're getting something that they don't deserve. So they use us as a mark. And so I'm glad that we're not out there, and I don't think we should be. We are going to be hit really badly, but all of them are going to get hit too. So they need to crawl out from up under the shadow of their own racism and bias and supremacy and feel the pain that we feel. So when you talk about Roy Moore, when we look at the numbers from Roy Moore, we realize that 75% of white men voted for Roy Moore, right? As much racist and alleged pedophile situation stuff that he was going through, and he was actually, you know, kicked off the court twice, the state Supreme Court, kicked off twice, like kind of disbarred and kicked out, and he won election again. All of those things being said, 75% of white men, 1 out of 4, voted against them. 75% agreed with him and voted for him. White females, 65% voted for him. So you know what that averages to? 70% of white folks in Alabama still supported him, no matter how racist, crazy. He was banned from the mall when he was 32 years of age from chasing young girls in the mall, underage girls. The girls who worked there didn't feel safe, and they banned him from a mall. While he said,
wow.
Hey, I asked their mothers for permission. So he went to them and said, hey, I'm a prosecutor. I want to date your 14-year-old. Ain't nothing you can do about it. That was his excuse. If you've seen his wife, did you see his wife when she said that my attorney would, you know, she said, they said we don't like Jewish people, but our lawyer is a Jew. Like,
right.
That made it all right. So she was actually, when he said he first put his eyes on her and started noticing her, she was about 15.
Wow.
So, any. Yeah, so that tells us a little bit. That tells us a little bit about the country we live. So I'm just saying, instead of any type of issue that we have, I think that they need to stand up and not use us as some type of pawn of, look at them, they're just fighting for something that they don't deserve, and they'll distract the conversation by using black folks. So I always tell black folks, stay out of this one.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean? We'll just get distractions.
Yes.
All right. Oh, and also in the news, you know, Trump commutes a 27-year-old sentence of a rabbi who was convicted of bank fraud of his meatpacking plant, which found to employ hundreds of illegal immigrants. So he had a conviction, 27-year prison term. This happened in 80. He was convicted 8 years ago of bank fraud, and Trump commuted his sentence.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Again, I'm not mad at President Obama, seriously, but I am disappointed that he didn't commute or pardon Momia Abu-Jamal or Asada Shakur. He could have just did that. This dude is commuting sentences of people who they know did it. He had hundreds of illegal alien immigrants working for him in a kosher plant in Brooklyn.
Oh my God.
Yeah, commuted his sentence. So who knows who he's letting out of jail. But everybody scrutinized President Obama for anything. And so even the people
Absolutely.
Who worked, I remember one of the guys who was working for the worked at the White House was saying, yeah, we combed over him before we sent them to him really harshly and made sure that we weren't overstepping. This dude don't care. I wish President Obama just did not care and say, look, we know during the 60s and 70s, they were just hunting down black folks. We need to go back and commute their sentences. He should have done that.
Yep.
But this is not about him, so I'll stay on my Trump news. So Trump, the final Trump Soho signs have come down in this newly christened Dominic Hotel in Manhattan. So Trump Soho on Spring Street in Manhattan has been renamed to the Dominic Hotel after the street that is near. So they finally got those Trump. I think that's his last franchisees who took his name down. Because Trump doesn't own them, but the resident complained and the owners actually took them down.
Wow.
Yeah, about time. Soho wasn't really eliminated. So,
which brings us
star,
back to why on earth
what?
Is it that that not only the recommendation for all these other men who, whether it's allegedly or not, are being removed from their posts because of sexual misconduct, why on earth is it that the president gets to ignore it and not be impacted by it? I don't understand that either.
Because he thinks he's the king of this piece and he can rape and pillage all he wants to and nobody can do nothing to him. That pretty much will sum that up.
Right, but it's, just their point and mine too now would be it shouldn't be up to him.
It shouldn't be, but they're complicit in helping him. And that's why I said when he gets charges brought against him and his son-in-law, we need to watch all of those people who are helping him. Because this is the problem in this country generally, is that even when I look at people say stuff like, not even going back as far as slavery, but even Jim Crow in those times in this country, they're like, yes, people were horrible then, but we're better now. And they start having black folks use words like, we have come a long way. We don't care if we come a long way. That is still in you. And if you were complicit in doing those wrongdoings, you are still responsible for your actions.
Right.
And so we need to be focused when anytime somebody does that. So in Trump's case, that those guys are complicit in helping them, and I guarantee you when the Wicked Witch is gone, then they're going to be like, we're free, and we should not let them off the hook. Just like Nikki Haley said, we should be taking names and note who is supporting this. Because just like high crimes and treason borders, that if that guy is creating high crimes, you are with him. You're an accomplice.
Exactly.
So we really need to keep an eye on that. Yeah.
I agree.
Now, tennis star Venus Williams will not face any criminal charges in retaliation.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
In retaliation to the June fatal traffic accident that she was involved in near her Florida residence. Now, the driver's car hit Williams' SUV in an intersection, was also not charged after Palm Beach Gardens police determined that neither violated the right-of-way. Have you ever seen that video?
Yep.
Okay. How would her being hit be her fault?
Please.
So I saw that. She goes through the intersection. The light changes while she's in the intersection, and the person jumped the light. Felt like, their light was about to change and was full speed. Like, it wasn't like they were at a stop and then took off because you would be going slower. It's that they saw, while she was in the intersection, they said Venus slowed down because somebody kind of cut her off or something, so she had to slow down while she was already in the intersection, and that person ran into her on her passenger side, and the person died. And I think they were just trying to go after her money.
That's exactly
Yep. So they said
We got one. We got one, y'all. And it's a black.
Yeah. Get Trump in there. He'll be like, she still should go to jail. Yeah. Now, so in July, the video evidence surfaced that showed that Williams entered the intersection lawfully and that the car was not involved, that a car not involved in the collision forced Williams to slow down and stop in the intersection. She didn't completely stop, but she had to slow down another car. So the cars that was actually waiting at the light, you know, I hate to use this for example, but have you ever seen, I can't think of what that movie is called, but it shows like live accidents where like this parent is walking towards the train tracks, but she's looking towards the train, and the baby that is holding her hand just keeps walking because the baby's not looking. It's just kind of, she stops while the child keeps walking. When somebody blocks your view and something else is coming, then you can't see them, right? So there was a car there that blocked Venus's view, kind of obstructed her. But she already had the right of way because the light was green for her. And then the other car ran the light and hit her. She never saw the car coming that hit her. But it wasn't her fault. So I don't know why I took all of that. When I saw the video months ago, I was like, why are they even in court? But, again,
because it's important. It's important to know where all of this came from. So, you know, it just is. It's important for people to understand the history of these things.
Woo! Yeah, and I know where it came from. She's from Compton and she's black. Okay. Compton doesn't matter. She was in Florida, but she's black, so that superseded all of it. So
that's
Hugh Hefner's...
Take me away.
What'd you say?
I said Calgon, take me away.
Oh, it was Calgon. I was like, what's that to take you away? All right. Hugh Hefner's widow and four children are banned from inheriting his $43 million if they're caught using drugs or getting too reckless with their spending. So Hugh Hefner's trust stipulated that in trust documents that if his beneficiaries to his estate frequently use or become dependent on drugs or alcohol, they could be suspended from the trust. I don't know how I feel about that. But, okay,
yeah.
You know what I mean? How do you stop somebody? How do you determine that you have reckless spending? I guess if you buy like you know, $400,000 tree, that might be a bit much. But he's like, you know what's nice? I'm gonna get a brooch for $500,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess I could see that. But Hugh Hefner has put some stipulation. I guess you can't win for losing when somebody has that kind of money. They can put stipulations on you. They can give you $1 million each and then say the rest of it we're going to trickle out to you. Now, it's not like Hugh Hefner is protecting like, I guess his dynasty is nude women, so technically I guess Playboy is a dynasty because his kids run it now.
I'm thinking
it's not like he's providing a public service, but I guess that, I don't know. You can find any pimp like these days, but that's usually how I see Hefner. That wasn't me. That was the story that I read a few months ago when he died. The woman called him a pimp. She took him to court because he wanted to sue her for calling him a pimp, and she said, I welcome the lawsuit. Because she was going to explain what a pimp was and how they make money off women, and he dropped his lawsuit.
Yeah.
Poor
Hef. Is this what you're doing? Hello.
Yeah. You know, before he died, a lot of his ailments came. They were saying, you know, the side effects of Viagra are like, you can lose your eyesight, like, you know, that kind of stuff. And he had all the symptoms of the side effects of Viagra. I was like, oh, that's too bad. Yeah,
there
right. Yeah, just thought I'd say that. All right. Sweden proposed rape law requires both parties to get explicit consent before sex. So the Swedish government's proposed consent law would shift the burden of proof from the rape victim to the alleged attacker, as is required explicit consent. before any kind of contact. Now, again, I don't know how this works in court. It's like I got a verbal. I didn't get a verbal. What do you do? And what happens if you go there with the intent and you change your mind? You're like, you signed this contract. I'm sorry. Like, that's the, you know what I mean? Like, how is that?
Yeah.
How is that shifting the burden? You could have intent and be like, I got a headache. And they're like, nope, you signed. I got it right here. Her signature and your thumbprint. Like, whatever that. All right. Speaking of ID, you know, some people are saying that the facial ID is racist on the iPhone. So Apple's iPhone 10 is being slammed by Chinese users who claim that the facial recognition system can't tell them apart. So increasingly, iPhone users in China, which is a country of more than a billion people, they're concerned about their iPhone X security features, or 10, I guess it is. So this guy and his mother, the son and the mother, used their faces to unlock his phone. And they're like, does it think that all Chinese people look alike? But it won't tell the difference. So they're getting... What'd you say?
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about that, but I just thought that was interesting. What'd you say?
No, and I said, yeah, it is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So, downright crazy, actually.
Yeah, see, I had to figure out a way to ease up out of that one. You know,
yeah.
Sarah Palin's son, Track Palin, was approved for house arrest this week after he was arrested on assault charges for allegedly beating his father, Todd, over the weekend. The family values candidate, you know, that whole thing, I got post-traumatic, you know, I went to war or whatever. I'm not sure if this is the son that actually went to war, but he was arrested, and they gave him, he was approved for house arrest after he assaulted his father.
Oh, boy.
That wouldn't have played well if she was in the administration with it. Well, no. It probably would have with all the other stuff, that's going on in that junk. That just been one more thing. They were like, what about your son beating your husband up? Can you talk about that? She's like, you betcha. We can talk about that on Tuesday. All right, now, statues of Confederate President Jefferson Davis and KKK leader Nathan Bedford Forrest was removed from Memphis after the city sold its park. Now, the city sold a couple of parks to get around Tennessee's Historical Commission, which had previously denied their request to take down the statues, so the city sold both of the parks that those statues were in.
Wow.
They're getting creative, right? They're like, look, as long as we get a guarantee that you'll leave it a park, then they sold the park. I bet you the city still cut the grass, but yeah. You know, we have a park here that's a huge park. It has a water reservoir on it, and you know, it has one of the largest it's roses from around the world there. And the family who owned it, I don't know when they gave this park to the city. It must have been the late 1900s or the early 1900s, I'm sorry. I was going to say late 1800s to early 1900s. But whenever they gave the park to the city, they gave a stipulation to the city that if they don't maintain that rose garden, the park reverts back to the family. And it's been a park for at least 100 years. But it's interesting that, you know, that you can sell parks, like keep them private, and then give them to the city or donate them back to a city. So, but they sold the park just to get those statues down. Much respect to the creative people in Memphis. What'd you say?
Oh, jeez. I'm just like scratching my head, my mouth hanging open, like, what on earth?
What is going on in the world?
Right.
Yeah. Now, Mormons have posthumously baptized Holocaust victims as well as the grandparents of Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Steven Spielberg. So their proxy baptisms are tied to a core church teaching that families spend eternity together. But the baptisms do not automatically convert dead people to Mormonism, is what they're saying. So under those teachings, the ritual provides the deceased a choice in the afterlife to accept or reject the offer of baptism. So just in case, you know, when you die, we're going to perform this service that while you're already dead, you can determine if you want to be Mormon. So the church's stance. I love this. The church's stance on the family afterlife is behind this massive data collection of genealogical records. You know, so the church compiles information from around the world and makes it available through their public website, FamilySearch.org, but also Ancestry.com is the Mormons as well. They took on that task years ago, and nobody really knows why, but it's a part of their doctrine that they, you know, all over the world, they've been collecting data, historical data, on everybody. Nobody knows why.
Yeah.
That's why I say don't voluntarily put yourself in those databases. You don't know what the heck they're doing with it.
Yeah.
Now,
I thought about you. I heard them start reporting the fact that, you know, when Chuck Schumer was basically saying, do not use these services because they are selling your information to third parties. And I just thought,
oh, did he say that?
Like, well, yes, it was a huge deal that Schumer was making over the airwaves. And it's interesting, too, that it only lasted for 24 hours. But basically,
yeah,
you were saying unless they made the changes whereby the companies that are doing these searches could not then resell
their information to their
all of your information, and also then we're looking at, you know, making sure that we can safeguard information that might be sent there too, just like as a business or something. So I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yep. So even 23andMe, 23andMe actually, years ago, 23andMe was out there, and then they actually kind of shut the site down for like 2 years, and it just came back. And so now it's popular, and they're like, hey, find out your family and your ancestry through 23andMe. But the reason that they shut down is because 23andMe used to allow people who own websites, like my company, you know, you can develop a website and put hooks in websites. So if you've ever visited a website and you're signed on Facebook, for example, and it brings up all your Facebook contacts and say, this person has just gone to this website as well. So you can put hooks inside of the HTML, inside of the website. 23andMe was selling that to web designers. So we can go to 23andMe and say you went to, I guess I shouldn't throw the company, but let's say you go out to Match.com. I was going to throw out like a retail store, but let's say you go to Match.com and you put in your name and say, hey, I want to date, you know, a Hispanic woman, like whatever. And then say, nope, you're white. And it will only show you white folks because they had hooks in there that if you put in your name in a certain amount of criteria, your name, your age, your birth date, it will pull from 23andMe. If you ever went to 23andMe, and it will sift out the customers to let the black people see some things and let white folks see others. And this person, you know, Asian people may see Asian stuff. And 23andMe went out of business for like 2 years. and then they just came back with this really slick little marketing campaign. It's like, find your ancestors. Like, I didn't know I was two-thirds Native American.
Like it was
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to watch for me to say that I can't believe that people are back on that again. But, yeah, 23andMe did go out. And they did take that feature out, so they don't do that anymore. But they were in a lot of, like, trouble, controversy-wise. So you can go to, you know, JCPenney's, Macy's, or whatever, Target, and if they actually – it was free to get those sifting criteria from 23andMe, but you don't know if Ancestry is doing that. You don't know if any of those guys are doing that.
Well, as far as what you know, Schumer was saying, as far as what Schumer was saying, they're all doing it. They're all reselling your information. Yeah.
So you don't want to do that, voluntarily give it, because that's why when people get arrested, they're swabbing their mouths. They're getting DNA samples, and then the rest of the fools are paying $200, and then they're giving them their DNA. I'm like, you're not getting mine free, buddy. But you're not getting it at all, so forget being free. It's just not going to happen. All right, so, you know, but that was just interesting that they did that. So the proxy baptisms are on their website. They're recorded, and they're password protected, and the password protected part of the database that is only accessible by church members. So I think they tried to not just when you die, they'll try to baptize you when you're alive. So I think they tried to baptize OJ at some point. Like there was Joe Biden got baptized. Like they don't care. They do their process. They will baptize your butt just because they see you on TV. They like you Mormon now. What kind of religion is that? It's like, let's find all the Jewish people and baptize them Mormon, and then find all the Christian people and baptize them Mormon. I don't know what a Mormon doctrine is, so I guess I shouldn't say that. I didn't watch the Book of Mormon. I must have missed that part. All right. Jada Pinkett Smith spoke out against the Hollywood Foreign Press Association for excluding Tiffany Haddish from the Golden Globe nominations. So she went on Twitter last week, and the nonprofit organization that votes for films is the HFPA, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. Jada Pinkett said they refused to even watch Girls Trip, which Jada Pinkett Smith and Tiffany Haddish both star in. They describing the movie as one of the most successful films of the summer. Jada said that the system used to decide Golden Globe nominations was antiquated, and a hinted at racism had played a factor. So after congratulating Mary J. Blige on her Mudbound nomination, Jada tweeted that she had so much to say about Tiffany Haddish not getting one, but she won't. And then 21 hours later, she changed her mind, and she said, I actually will. Here we go. I'm not upset about at Tiffany Haddish or at Girls Trip movie for not getting nominations. I'm discouraged about the fact that the Hollywood Foreign Press at the Golden Globes wouldn't even watch the movie. And Girls Trip was one of the most successful films of the summer, and Tiffany was hands down the funniest person on screen in 2017, and we couldn't get our eyes on the film or a press conference. So this is Jada. You know, she also wrote on her Twitter about she scoffed at Jordan Peele Get Out being considered a comedy.
Yes.
So she hit
right.
them. And again, it amazes all of us that they want to make that a comedy. Okay, I missed you. What were you saying, Kathleen?
Oh, sorry about that. I can't get this stupid alarm to go to get off my phone.
I can't hear it.
I don't remember. It'll come back to me.
Yeah. It was just about Get Out being nominated as a comedy.
Oh, being considered as a comedy. That.
And
it was ignored by the Oscar committee as well. And it
was it?
one of the top grossing, if not the, it was the highest grossing movie to be released in 2017. As far as profitability goes, with in relation to what they spent and what they made, it was the highest grossing movie of 2017, and it was a new producer, and it had so many categories that
first time director.
He was snubbed by the entire Academy.
Now you know that movie. If I'm not mistaken, was about $15 million to make, maybe. It's over $200 million is what that movie made so far.
Yeah.
And Girls Trip also made over $100 million. So Hollywood can't use the excuse that black cast movies don't make money. But it made over $100 million itself, Girls Trip. Extremely successful. But again, I guarantee you, if black people withdraw from white folks' arena, then they'll be like, why are you leaving us and y'all don't need your own award show? This shows why you need your own award show.
Yeah.
Just want to put that
out there. That's right.
Now, Saturday Night Live, I want to say they appoint Michael Che as his first black head writer. 4 years after the show faced criticism of his lack of diversity, NBC announced that he and Colin Jost will be promoted as head writers. Now, does that sound like he's the first black head writer or is he the first black co-head writer? So, not only did they promote the black guy as head writer, they gave him a white guy to share the head writer with. That was just wrong, right?
I thought there were other head writers that existed already, not that they gave it to Colin and him. What?
No, they gave it to both of them. So you're going to release a press release saying that the first black head writer, and then later on in the press release it says, oh, Colin will be promoted, both will be promoted as head writers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I know you ain't know where to go with that.
It's the most, the background of Saturday Night Live is the most non-diverse, liberal show that I've ever seen. The discrepancy amounts almost to hypocrisy.
See, again, it's the whole concept of long as they're quiet and they still watch us, then we'll keep doing what we're doing. You know, I remember having that conversation before with someone where they're saying, oh, well, I like whatever white artist that was. And I said, yeah, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have any black artists because you as a black person will look at black, white, you know, white artists. And they couldn't see the point. They were like, well, they're not bringing any black groups, but I like Hall & Oates. I'm like, a lot of black people like Hall & Oates, but you can't say that he's representing black folks or Hall & Oates is not representing or Eminem or Robin Thicke or, you know, you can't do that. So if white folks can substitute white folks out as black artists, it's like having a white rap category. Like you can't do that. Although I almost would accept that. A white rap category.
If you called it something else.
No. I wouldn't mind it. Think about this. So rap you know, inherently black folks created, like we did rock and roll and country, but anywho, rap as a music genre, that instead of integrating rap to whiten it up, they should just do like they do in popular music, right? You know, because Mahalia Jackson was going to kill them at the Grammys, the Grammys created a gospel category just because of Mahalia Jackson. Mahalia sold so much music back then that they wanted to nominate Mahalia, and they created a gospel section to win. So they have R&B sections for black folks. I don't know why we can't have a white rap section, but I don't know what we're calling it right now. I'm just saying. Alternative rap. Maybe we call it that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
left,
so you can
rap.
You can put.
So, I mean, right. Rap.
Which is that?
Right. Alt.
Alt rap. So you would not only would you throw in white rappers, but you would throw in some gospel rap. You would just have like the eclectic alt rap, like not the the non traditional rap category.
Right.
You know what? I might do that. I might have to create that on one of our websites and say, here's our alt rap top 10. I'm sorry. That might be funny to me, but alt rap is going to be, it's going to trend. We should copyright that and trademark that first, right?
Well, let's do that.
Yeah, because, you know, somebody's going to use that. That alt rap thing is just too, that is just too good. Now, a boy
Thank you.
years old used his grandfather's Amazon account to buy $500 worth of toys. So some kid, Jacob, was playing on his mother's iPad when he used his grandfather's Amazon account to buy a toy car, a racetrack, nearly $500. And then he had the toys delivered to his grandfather's restaurant. Now, that was smart to buy them, but sending them there wasn't. Like, come on, he's six. So, anyway. I should have played black or white with this one, because nothing happened to a six-year-old.
I'm so impressed with the fact that he knew how to change the shipping address. I'm like, look, it takes me a half an hour to do the shipping versus the billing address in half of these.
Right.
So the fact that he was able to get that on, I'm like, oh, yeah. He deserves
to keep it
for that, just for that alone.
Wait, but if you just think about it, you know, bear with me for a minute. He's using his mother's iPad. So he's like, my grandfather gave me this. That was calculated, right? Because, you know, your grandfather, come on now, your grandparents going to look out. So he's like, don't ship it here. Ship it to him. nice try, though. I'm just saying.
And
I'm just
saying, the right address.
Yep, what'd you say?
So he had to know how to spell grandpa's name, all that, and know the address.
Well, wait a minute, because he would have had to sign on to somebody. He used his mother's Amazon account, his grandfather's credit card, and then had to, so he had to put his grandfather's restaurant address in there. A six-year-old.
I just don't think that story is true. Either that or he had help. He had an accomplice.
His mother. She was like, yeah, I ain't paying for that. Oh, yeah, the six-year-old did it. It wasn't me. Yeah, and ignore those Jimmy Choo's. Don't worry about that.
That's right, the red bottom.
He wanted to get me something. Yeah, he wanted to get me something for Christmas.
You know Grandpa did that and tried to act like, no, little Jimmy did it. Grandpa
wanted that. You know how he is. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wireless, U.S. wireless carrier T-Mobile said that they're going to launch a pay TV service in 2018. So they're trying to disrupt the, you know, dominant cable and satellite providers by providing, I don't know how they're going to send it, but the firm has acquired this startup called Layer 3 TV, and they're, I guess, going to have a wireless TV service. Well, TV is wireless anyway, so however that's going to work.
Well, I just hope they have BEP on there.
That's all we care about. Centric, BT, TV One. Just get a little flavor in there someplace. All right. Norway has become the first country in the world to shut down its FM radio and move entirely to digital broadcast. So as scheduled, the country's...
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Their most northern regions in the Arctic have switched to digital audio broadcasting, and that's it. Now, okay. Again, I don't claim to be smart or anything. I don't say that I'm not smart, but I don't claim it. But if you get a power outage, digital is going down. It does not keep signal. So, again, I'm showing my age, but we used to with cell phones, if you lose a connection, all you had to do is keep talking and keep moving, and then it'll come back. That's because radio waves work different than digital. When you lose signal now, it just hangs up on you. That is not good for emergencies. So anyway, I don't know what young millennials thought of that, and they're like, we don't really need FM no more, and then they voted. But that.
Well, guess what though? How many natural disasters or emergencies have you heard of happening in Norway?
Well, it's not that many people, for one, and two, they're condensed, so they probably can just look out the window and be like, yo. It's going to rain.
Yeah, they probably just go outside.
yeah. It's not, Norway is not, it's probably not even bigger than, I don't know. Give me like our seventh largest city. Like, it's probably not that big. The whole country is not that big. Probably not
and
bigger
as cold
than Cleveland,
as it is,
Ohio.
They're probably so used. They probably have so much stuff ready for the, you know, everything going down anyway.
Yeah, but
like, okay,
but I'm
have
sure they
that
had
fireplace going. Have, you know, they're just like, hey, whatever.
but it's still not smart because how, you know, digital TV works, or when you have satellite TV, that, you know, if it's cloudy, it'll disrupt the signal. Digital signals work a little bit differently outside of radio waves in that it will lose signal. It's a hard drop. And so it's not good in emergencies, but maybe everybody in Norway have two-way hand radios too.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So
they have everything already set up. Yeah, it's already set up for emergencies anyway.
For
so they're
power.
Like, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, right. So, yeah,
we
so they probably didn't care about the radio station.
Anyway. Yeah, we go without power, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
We have everything. We got everything.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, they pretty much, I don't know, it's kind of weird, but they pretty much probably have emergency backup. Now, I forgot the story. So police are asking drivers to return money that they found on a highway after a bank robber threw the cash out the window during the chase. So if you are in Lake Eisenhower, California, and he threw the cash out the window, the police are asking you to return it. Good luck. But I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, puts a whole new spin on Let It Burn. Too soon.
Exactly. That wasn't gonna work. You know, an elderly couple was busted with 60 pounds of marijuana worth $336,000 in their pickup truck that they said that they were planning on giving out as Christmas gifts. So the 80-year-old guy and his wife, who's 83, I'm not saying their name because I love the story, were stopped by York County Sheriff's deputies in Nebraska on Interstate 80 when they had 60 pounds of marijuana in them. They were bagged up pretty nicely, too. So I've seen the pictures of it. And they said that they were giving away for gifts. Now, if you're 80, you probably know somebody.
Why were they stopped?
I don't know. It didn't say why they were stopped, but they had the marijuana in the back of a pickup, which means they probably could see it, too. But imagine, Okay, so I'm in a senior center, and my glaucoma is acting up, but I get this Christmas gift. I'm just joking. They're like, this is medical. This is for medicine. Remember, 80 and 83 years old. I think they should do no time for having that much marijuana on them. They had $330,000 worth. Yeah, there should be no time. Yeah, I'm gonna vouch for them. Call me. I'll see what I can do. Yeah, we should start a GoFundMe for the 80-year-old who had marijuana.
Yep.
Hey, I'm just going to put that out there. So, all right, so before I hit the outro, I know we did talk briefly about the tats, but what story did I miss there, Kathleen? Or what stories do you have, or did you have any?
Oh, yeah, I had a bunch last week. I can't even remember them now. Geez. But I did want to mention that I went to taping of the Rundown last week with The Rundown with Robin Beatty, which came on tonight actually at 11 o'clock. But anyway, last week it was really fun, so much fun, really amazing. So if you're listening and you're not checking out Robin Beatty, The Rundown on BET Thursday nights at 11 o'clock, you really just check in, you know, DVR it or whatever. Really support this lady. Her talk show is amazing. I don't know, second or third black woman to have a late night talk show. And I did get to ask her a question, and I let her know, you know, how much I enjoy her show and wondered whether or not it would ever go to an hour or even possibly a nightly talk show. And she said, no, ma'am.
Oh, it's only on one.
Absolutely. Yeah, it only comes on Thursday nights. And she said, no, ma'am, absolutely not. And she said, there is just so much work that goes into that one half hour that she would not be able to do it. And she said when she worked on the show with the gentleman, George, whatever his name is, I can't think of his name right now, but she said they had 17
Larry Wilmore,
writers.
Though. She was on late.
Right. But she said they had 17 writers, another 10 offsites or whatever she called them, and she said she has 7 writers, and the majority of what is written, you know, she writes a good deal of it. She's always writing. She's always taping, you know, because they do a lot of segments that they take during the week that she uses the feed for, and she said the tremendous amount of research that goes into it, and so she basically is busting her chops to get this show done. So everybody tune in so Sister can get some more writers, whether she goes to an hour or not, you know. But she did say that they got a contract for 24 episodes on the first go-round, and she said basically that is unheard of. Usually people get 10 or 5 or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, 5
know,
to 8. They don't need 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they gave her 24 with no budget. They gave her 24 with no budget.
With 7 writers, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, now,
exactly.
I remember Chris Rock show, I think it may have only been on 2 years, 2 or 3 episodes. They were on HBO, Chris Rock.
Oh,
and,
right.
I want to say, was that nightly? No, it must have been weekly. It must have been weekly. But, you know, it spun off writers like Wanda Sykes and all those guys. That was their first writing gig, Wanda Sykes.
Wow.
And so Chris Rock ended that show after the second season, because he said all of his writers were so good, they started going to other projects. He said, we were like family, but he didn't want to do it anymore because the writers were leaving. And I was like, yeah,
wow.
That kind of makes sense. Yeah. So, yeah.
I met one of the
Rocket.
Writers, too. One of the writers, Kobe. So, Kobe, if you're listening out there, great job. But it was really a lot of fun.
You didn't ask Robin if she was coming on the show? No? All right.
You know, I should have. My bad. Next time. I'm going to go back.
I mean,
I really had so much fun. that I'm going to go back. And I'll send you one of the pictures, so maybe you can, you know, put it up on SolarSyracuse.com or on your Facebook page so you can get some hits.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely do that. I actually like her. She does a great job. I have seen the show before, and she's actually she's funny. I didn't think that she would or wouldn't be. I had no real expectations of her, but she is actually funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
And just
like
live taping.
Her humor is cute, funny.
Huh?
I said her humor is cute, funny too, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
She's not. She's not like a hardcore comic, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And she, you know, it was great that just how she did it, too. She stayed on set the whole time. She never left the set like a whole lot of other people. You go to their shows or whatever, and on their breaks, they're going backstage and whatnot. She was sitting out there with the writers, even when her clips were playing and everything. She's sitting there laughing. She's engaging with the audience. It was really cool. Really good time.
That's why she told you no, because she was like,
thing.
This approach is hard. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because usually
and
they're
then,
in the back and then, yeah. What were you going to say?
Yeah, she totally did. It was a lot of fun. And I did want to just mention that with this tax bill that just passed, it's just been, you know, really pretty depressing for a lot of people, including myself. I was just like, what the heck is happening here? And I wanted to know if, you know, when someone else takes office, can they reverse that? Because they keep saying that the changes that he made to the tax bill are permanent. So that was one thing that I wanted to ask. And I just, you know, I said it earlier, but, like, what on earth is it going to take? Because basically, it seems like, the self-interest that is taking place here, where they're just feeding their own self-interest, is so blatant, so obvious, with Bob Corker and Donald Trump and all these others just, but you know, blatantly padding their pockets with laws, you know.
Yeah.
And I just, like, what is it going to take to get them to stop?
They,
is there no protection for the United States against that?
No. The founding fathers of the country probably never imagined that you would be able to corrupt all three branches at the same time. They probably couldn't even see that coming. They made it so rigorous that it's really hard to pass laws. And so to pass a law, like, it's supposed to go, you know, anybody's ever watched Schoolhouse Rock, it goes, I'm just a bill. You ever watch that?
Yeah.
It goes through committee. Somebody makes it.
Bill.
Then the committee. Yes. And then the committee has another subcommittee that they approve it, and then the chairman has to before they vote on it. And then once they vote on it, the Senate has to generate a totally separate bill that goes through the same process. And then after it comes out of committee, they have to merge the bills if the bills aren't the same. And if they're not the same, they go back to the House and then go back to the Senate, and then they put a committee together to merge both bills and then go back to each body of Congress, and then they re-vote on the same bill. How a bill becomes a law is not easy. The Republicans made it look easy because they just duped everybody and they got people just to sign it regardless. So even though what happened the other day is the House passed the bill, the Senate passed the bill, they went to merge them in conference, the House voted on it, the Senate rules would not allow them to accept the bill the way it was written. It was written so badly that the House had to re-vote, they had to change the bill again, so the House had to re-vote on the changed version and then went to the Senate the next day and then they voted it in. So the tax bill is so jacked up that it's not even well written to actually pass through regular committee. So to answer your question, yes, the next Congress can rewrite, even though those tax breaks are permanent while that bill exists. So you can repeal a prior legislation to to change something from permanent to temporary. You can't make anything permanent in this country generally. So when they say that, it just means that the tax provisions for the lower income brackets expires at a certain time at 20-something, right? So it has like 4 years and then it expires. But theirs don't expire until somebody changes the law. So if you do nothing, they will never expire. But you can go change it so that they expire tomorrow. But if you do nothing, they won't expire. So, yeah, you can change it.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep. So there was nothing that they put in there that you just can't that the next person can't redo.
Okay.
Are you with me? Okay. All right. So that would be our tax law program today. What'd you say? Okay. I cried.
Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, Rome.
Hey, Merry Christmas. You know, I forgot all about that. Merry Christmas to all my folks. My girl Agria is on. Hey, girl. My cousin Cedric, he may be on, but saw another one from the area code. So, in case you're on, Merry Christmas to everyone. And to my girl Kai, since I missed her birthday on the last program, happy birthday, Kai.
Happy birthday, Kai. Woo-hoo!
All right. In case you missed us in the archives, because, you know.
You'll be on next week, the week before
New
Year.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I'll see you there.
All right, so we have one more before the end of the year, so we'll be back next week. All right, Kathleen. All right, we'll see you next week.
Take care.
All right.
All right. Good night.
All right. Yep, good night.